Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Writer's Block with Jim Christina and Bobby Bell, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Out where a friend is a friend, where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly Jimson weed.
I could not resist. I had to do it.
Because you are back in the saddle again.
I'm back in the saddle again.
Woohoo! Hey, in the big chair.
It is another Thursday night. This is LA Talk Radio, and you're listening to The Writer's Block. I am Jim Christina, back in the saddle again.
Oh.
Your host. In studio with the lovely, charming, diabolical Bobby Jean Bell.
I'm so glad to see you, friend.
Oh, my God. It's just been too long. 2 weeks.
It has.
Almost three.
Yes.
Yeah.
This would have been three.
Next week would have been three.
So glad you're back.
Me too. I beats the hell out of where I was. So there you have it. And let's get down to biz, because we're going to have a full hour show tonight.
Wonderful.
And so let's get right down to it. The Writer's Block is brought to you by Black Dog Publishing, the folks at Black Dog. If you are a new writer or trying to figure out how to navigate your way through publishing or through an agent or whatever, give the folks at Black Dog a call. The number there is 805-795-3165, and they can help you out. And by Out West, used to be boutique and
cultural center, but now it's just Out West. Easier to remember.
And is your online source for top brands that are a reflection of the equestrian and Western lifestyle. So, shop for unique and distinctive apparel, boots, hats, fashion, accessories, home decor, books, music, and general merchandise. National brands include Scully Company, Scully Leather Company, Rockmount Ranchwear, Danbo's Post Boots, and American West Handbags, just to name a few. And you can reach them online at www.scvoutwest.com. Enter code WB100 and receive $10 off your
And
order.
We've had some people do that, so thank you so much
for shopping
Out West.
Thank you, and thanks for using them. And if you want their direct line, and this is also the line for their concert series, it's 661-347-9700, and I understand they had a wonderful, wonderful show last night.
Oh, it was great.
And also, Target Freight Management, and you know what? I don't believe... Oh, here it is. I got it right here. Yay! Since 2009, Target Freight has had a full truckload service. That's the best in the industry. They go to great lengths to secure the most competitive rates possible. TFM also provides unmatched customer support from our dedicated truckload division. In an effort to streamline our customers' overall shipping efficiency, TFM provides real-time updates on all lanes. Call TFM today at 1-844-653-7789. Tell them you heard it on The Writer's Block, and they'll have a little something extra for you. And if you're an LTL shipper, we know you're looking for the best rates and with the least hassle. Call Target Freight Management. Their customized transportation management system is just a ticket to getting your freight moved your way. Call Target Freight Management today at 888-653-1323 or go to www.targetfmi.com on the web for both truckload and LTO. Call today. You won't be disappointed. I'm actually having breakfast with Mike next week.
Oh, that's great.
So that's really good. The nice folks at Target Freight, they're just really great folks, and they just keep sponsoring us, which is really nice. In the studio. First, let me do this. 2 weeks ago,
yeah.
I got incredibly stupid and did something I should never have done, which was blow myself up with some black powder, which is why I have not been here. And fortunately for me, in the Valley, they have a facility called the Grossman Burn Center, and they're like the best on the West Coast. They're really terrific people there. And I told the head nurse at the clinic yesterday, her name is Marcy Zimmerman, that I would give them a shout-out tonight, so I am doing so. And a shout-out goes to the Grossman Burn Center, their clinic, and their ward in there, where I had a bed for 4 nights.
Mm-hmm.
Yay, team. Dr. Brian Evans was the man who did the surgery on my hand, my face, and took care of me pretty good. Of course, Marcy and Haven, who is going to be new in the clinic, and they're just great, terrific people. So if you are ever burned, that's where you want to go. But the trick is, don't get burned.
Well, now, Jim, I know that you're a Western, you know, fiction writer.
I am.
And in the studio with us tonight, we have two wonderful writers, Margaret Brownlee, who writes Western romance fiction, and Almeda Bradshaw, a wonderful singer-songwriter. And we know how important historical research is.
Correct.
And I thought perhaps this little engagement that you had with Black Powder was was to create, you know, you needed to just have that real experience.
A new scenario for a book.
For a new book or not?
No,
so
it was just stupid. I mean, there was no historical aspect to it whatsoever. I just got blowed up real good.
Well, we are so glad to see you recovering.
Me too. I am recovering. I will not, however, be at the festival this weekend. My doctor has recommended that I do not go. Mm-hmm. Temperature fluctuations just kill me right now.
Sure, of course.
And he said, if you can get out of it, do so. Mm-hmm. You're much better off. So I'm going to sit this one out, although I do not really want to. I am going to. But I really, really am glad that Margaret is here. Margaret has always been a good guest with us, and she's been a good friend of the show.
Absolutely.
And of ours, personally. Mm-hmm. And Almeda Bradshaw. You were on Campfire Cafe this morning.
Yes, I was. I'm getting my fill of radio talk shows.
Apparently
I'm having so much fun.
Yes, but Campfire Cafe, you were not in the studio.
No, this is really impressive.
This is different.
This is really cool.
It makes radio real.
It does.
Doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It's really kind of cool.
And you know, the setting for last night's, it's really kind of fun because you started off with Gene Autry, Back of the Saddle.
Right.
And last night, Joe Harrington built a set that was kind of a reproduction of Gene Autry's radio show.
Oh, cool.
And he actually had a chair, like a director's chair, that was Gene's name on the back of it. And the whole idea was that Mary Kay and he were on the radio and telling stories and singing songs and all, and put it in this really wonderful, warm radio kind of atmosphere. So that was perfect that you started this radio show with
then I came in the studio tonight and Ronan says, well, you know, the Aerosmith did a version of that. And so, yeah, that's why I chose not to use it.
Hey, good music is good music and people pick it up and do covers of it all the time.
Back in the Saddle has never been elevator music. No, I can remember that. Sitting in the studio with us tonight is Margaret Brownlee. And Margaret's been here before. Margaret is a prolific writer on Western romance fiction. Now, Margaret has written more than 40 novels and novellas. She goes for it. Her books have won numerous awards, including Reader's Choice and Award of Excellence. She's a former Romance Writers of America Rita finalist and has written for a TV soap. She is currently working on a new series. That's the one I assume that we have finished the first one of.
Yes, that's right.
Not bad for someone who flunked 8th grade English and then taught elementary school. She's such a terrific woman. Would you please welcome to the Writer's Block, Margaret Brownlee.
Yay!
Yay!
Thank you so much. I'm so delighted
to be
here.
Well, wait a minute. Here, let me give you the...
Yay! We haven't seen Margaret except on Facebook. We haven't seen face to face in quite a while.
Well, she was on our very first
the second show. And you know, that was a great show.
I went back and listened.
We were talking about stagecoach etiquette and all kinds of things.
Oh,
that was a really, really fun show.
It was a good show. Well, this book, and it's called, what is it called, Bobby?
It's called Match Made in Texas.
Match Made in Texas. And the opening scene, the heroine, well, I should probably use the protagonist, female protagonist, gets thrown off a stagecoach.
Yep.
There you don't give the driver a hard time. Well, that may be something you want to remember on the way home, Margaret.
This is a charming, wonderful, another, you know, she writes, these women characters are so great. This is Amanda Lockwood that we're talking about.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about Miss Amanda Lockwood.
Well, this series involves three sisters, and this is the second book in the series, and Amanda is the middle sister, and she's the one that's always in trouble and has always got a cause that she's, marching for and that. Everything. So, and in this book, by a series of strange incidences, she ends up the sheriff of the town.
Yeah.
She does, yeah.
Yeah, and this is two-time
Two-time Texas.
Yeah, and the reason it's called two-time Texas.
Well, because they have two time zones in Texas, which wasn't unusual back in the old days,
right.
You know. And so there's a feud going on between the jewelers about which time
right.
is correct.
So. Oh, and Amanda, this is 1882, I think, is when you set this. And she's an early suffragette.
Yes, she is. She is an early suffragette.
She is out there campaigning.
Yeah, she travels to Austin.
Yeah.
To attend the meetings.
Yes, yeah. She does. And, but anyway, well, the reason she wanted to become a sheriff is because she wanted to show them that, you know, she was making progress in this rights for women back then, you know. So it was kind of an interesting. Mm-hmm. But I thought it would be kind of fun to show what being a sheriff would be like from a woman's point of view. So I thought that was kind of a fun thing to mm-hmm. do. It was a fun book to write.
I think being awakened at 2 o'clock in the morning with somebody pounding on your door when you find out you're actually got elected the sheriff and they're going to swear you in right there.
In your nightgown.
Well, she had to get to work right away.
Yeah, she did have to get to. And
yep.
Like all the books, these are well-developed characters, and they're not stereotypical. These are real people, yeah. And you do a lot of research.
Yes, I do. Unfortunately, I wanted to see, you know, a real woman sheriff, but most of them, it wasn't until the 1900s right. that there really was a woman sheriff. So I took a little bit of literary right. license in that regard. But it was kind of a fun book to write for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah. Now, Almeda, can I say something? Can I introduce Almeda?
Of course you can.
Okay, I'm going to introduce Almeda. Almeda Bradshaw has traveled in from Montana. And she Woo. Will be with us this weekend at the Santa Clarita Cowboy Festival. She will be at the Buckaroo Bookshop, as will Margaret. They will both be at the Buckaroo Bookshop. And Almeda will be performing her music on the Out West stage throughout the weekend, Saturday and Sunday. Margaret will be in a couple of panel discussions also on the Out West stage.
Right.
And Almeda has traveled in from Montana, as I said. She's a talented Western singer-songwriter. Her love and appreciation for the Western way of life is expressed in heartfelt songs that give voice to the Westerner. Cowboys, cowgirls, ranchers, farmers, and more. Her clear vocals, compelling stage presence, and accomplished musicianship will entertain audiences throughout this weekend. And she also closes our concert series in October. She closes out our year.
Yes, October 27th.
Yes, exactly. You must have the flyer in front of you.
I did read the flyer. Now, did you just write that intro?
I actually wrote it just like 24 hours ago.
Because Almeda's over here rolling her eyes at me.
No, actually, I'm just basking in all of that really nice description. Read it again, will you?
Yeah, do it again.
I will probably this weekend. Well, or John, or I don't know.
Read it again. We'll give you some music.
There you go.
So, and the two of you met a couple years ago
yes,
in 2015 at the Cowboy Festival. And I think you gave, Almeda, did she give you a book?
Yes, I got a book.
Yeah.
Oh, it was, I don't recall the title of it, but it starts out with a woman arriving by train and she steps off onto the platform there and there's not a soul around. And she ends up dragging her trunk all the way into town and finds the town in the grips of some dastardly dude who's terrorizing everybody. And it was just really an exciting start to a fun story. So what was the name
Do
of that,
remember
Margaret?
That title?
Well, I don't know.
Well, that's one beginning of 14 of her novels.
they all start the same.
I always have to read my book before I take.
Well, yeah, because you know you're mentioning about pulling luggage, and of course in the book we just read, she's got a hope chest.
She has a hope chest.
And suddenly I'm thinking, do they pull their luggage in all the books?
Oh, that's so fun. Oh.
Well, you have a song, and if we could just play a little bit
of
it.
Which one would you like?
Let's do Story of Lottie.
Okay.
And why don't you set it up?
The Love of Lottie Joel?
Sorry, yes. Let's give us the right title.
Set it up, Almeda.
The Love of Lottie Joel. Well, my husband and I visited Bodie, California, and I learned about a woman who came there as a prostitute and ended up marrying the butcher, Eli Joel. And it just tells about her. This is all, everything in this song is true. Except the very beginning, because I don't know for certain if her if Anne Donnelly saw her get off the stage. And I don't know for certain, nobody knows for certain how Lottie Joel died at the very end. So those are my two speculations, but everything in between is true about this woman who left the life of prostitution, married into social accepted relationship, but was totally shunned her entire life by the citizens of Bodie. And the consequences and results of that. So.
And this is from Almeida's newest CD, Lovers, Wives, and Mothers.
Oh. Okay, well, here it is, The Love of Lottie Joel.
Stage pulled in on time, an ordinary stop. To one who stepped from out of the coach caused many a jaw to drop. And the butcher's wife, as she passed by, saw blonde and blue and rose. Could Mrs. Donnelly know the fate awaiting Lottie Joel? When Lottie asked for Maiden Lane, there was shock but no surprise to those who saw the pain in the lovely woman's eyes. They pointed to the high grade brothel for the best of ladies known for carnal charms and parlors of the West. A favorite for all the girls she cared, especially for those who worked the cribs in desperate affairs. And with the men she danced so well, put them all to ease.
I really like that. That is sweet.
Well, thank you so much.
Oh, my God.
You know, it's a very long song.
Yeah,
it,
I can
it goes
see that.
For 9 minutes, so it tells a really long story, obviously.
Well, that was a teaser to wet your whistle.
It was. And, you know, I'm a musician from way back, and that's the kind of music we used to play.
Yes.
You know, the mixed acoustic guitars.
Oh, and, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then throwing little bass and fiddling.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it did my heart good to hear it.
Good.
Thank you. Well, and it was fun going through her CD and thinking of, because she is writing from the women's perspective. Maybe we should just touch on that for a moment for each of you.
They both can speak to that quite well, I'm sure.
Absolutely. So how to phrase that question?
Well, if you are really a woman.
Yeah, there you go. Well, in LA, we never
say,
know.
Margaret, what would you say, how does a woman's perspective differ from a man's, would you say?
Well, I think mostly it's about relationships. I think it's more about relationships than a male author would probably, and it's a different way. There's more details about the relationship. Mm-hmm. As I was just reading a book the other day, and it was like, you know, he kissed her, and that was the end of it. Whereas, a woman is more likely, it'll be like 2 pages leading up to the kiss, and, you know, 3 pages thinking about the kiss.
I just read that.
10 years later, still thinking about
the burning desire. Yeah.
So I think that, we go into more details, which is a good thing in some ways, but in other ways, like in an action scene, it's probably not as good an idea to go into so many details,
right.
So I always have to cut when I'm doing an action scene, when there's a fight going on, and you don't want all of that. But,
right.
But I think that's one of the things. Plus, I don't think a woman's going to ever have the hero ride off into the sunset at the end.
Let's see, did a woman write? Did a woman write?
If she's smart, she will.
Yeah, who wrote Shane? That wasn't a woman, I guess. Huh?
No.
He is going to stay.
Almeida, what do you think?
Well, I think that subject matter is for me, with Lovers, Wives, and Mothers, a Western woman's voice, the songs just touch on the things that are dear to a woman's heart, which, again, like you're saying, Margaret, is relationships, and either good, positive ones or ones that are tainted by, social problems or anything like that. So, I'm going to write about things that are dear to my heart and mean a lot to me, like family. family, children, relationships, love, you know, loss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you think that you have, if you've seen, you know, writing over the last 10, 15 years, would you say that the women writers and songwriters have been able to change the perception of the West as we bring these stories, you know, more to the forward? Would you say there's been an impact?
Oh, absolutely. You know, over time, history has been written from a man's perspective primarily, and it doesn't, I don't know if it matters whether it's man or woman. There are just times when stereotypes and certain archetype personalities and various things become prevalent, and so, you know, we can break some of those stereotypes and by writing from our heart and from how it would have felt like for us to be doing those things, and so yeah, I think that we have been able to share more a broader perspective mm-hmm. of life mm-hmm. in the West.
What do you think, Margaret?
Well, yes, absolutely, because if you go back to the old Westerns, you know, the women, she was either the, you know, the prostitute, if mm-hmm. you will,
right.
or the prairie angel kind of thing, you know.
Right.
But there was so much more. I mean, women were running newspapers. They were doing a lot of exciting things back then.
Right.
And I just think that we've been bringing those stories forward, and I think it's a very exciting time. Mm-hmm. And people are really amazed, you know, when they think that most of the newspapers in the West were run by women. And I was just reading the other day that they put their husband's name mm-hmm. on the top, even though they were the editor, because those days, you know, it wouldn't be proper for a woman to be doing this. So there was a lot of things going on. And there's a whole book on women inventors, for example. It's just amazing the things that women were doing. And they were doing things like, you know, developing things for safety around the house and things like that. So women were doing exciting mm-hmm. things, and I'm so glad that we're able to bring those forward now.
Well, and a recent series that you had was on the Pinkerton detectives.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely,
and
yes.
And you do write in series. That's always a fun question because, you know, you have this, you do a series and then you move on and you do another series. But the Pinkertons, I didn't really know that there were a lot of, you know, women involved.
Not a lot.
You know, the Pinkerton
Well,
agency.
there was a whole department of female.
After a while, yeah.
Yeah, which was interesting. But the first one, Kate Warney, she walked into his office in 1852, which is pretty early.
Early.
Right.
And she said she wanted a job. She was supposedly a young widow. I think there
23,
was 23.
I think she was, yeah.
And he thought she wanted a secretary. A job, but she soon straightened him out on that regard, and you know, she convinced him that she could be a detective, and she was one of his favorite ones. I mean, she did amazing things. She saved Abraham Lincoln's life before he was president, because there was an assassination attempt, and they were on a train, and she put him in a wheelchair, wrapped him up in a shawl, and passed him off.
Oh, she's the one that did that.
Yes, uh-huh. An invalid brother. She passed him off of that. So, I mean, she was doing amazing things.
There's a song in there somewhere.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Are you getting all those on
there? Are you writing some notes?
Taking good mental notes.
What was that name again?
Kate Warney.
Very good, I've got that.
So there was just a lot of interesting things going on back then. And, you know, the police, I haven't been able to track it down, but the word policewoman was there from the 1850s. So there had to be a policewoman there somewhere, mm-hmm, you know. Mm-hmm. So it was very, very yeah. interesting. Mm-hmm.
How do you do your research? Where do you go to do your research?
Well, I love old newspapers. And they're all online, which makes it very healthy, very thing. And, of course, you know, books. There's a lot of books out there now. And, of course, the Internet, you have to be careful with the Internet, but know where it's coming from. But you know, there. And sometimes on this one, Calico Spy, which is a Pinkerton, there's a Harvey. She's undercover as a Harvey girl. And
we know them.
We had a whole show about the Harvey.
Yeah,
we
Harvey
did. Girls. Yeah.
Fun.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Well, anyway, there's a Harvey house in Barstow, and it's by the railroad station, and it's now it's a Chamber of Commerce and
yes.
museum. Yeah.
Yes.
But I went there and did all my research and used that as this as the background for this book. So so sometimes just going on site helps too. Mm-hmm. You know.
And Almeda will throw you that same kind of question. Your research.
Right. Well, regarding Lottie Joel, that was being on site right there in Bodie, and I took lots of photographs, and just then I tried to find as much information as I could about Ann Donnelly, and there isn't as nearly as much as there is about Lottie, which is kind of cool, kind of a vindication over time. But anyway, for Lottie. But, you know, I'm not a novel or a fiction or whatever writer, so there is not nearly the depth of research required for what I do. Although with Lottie Joel, I did a little bit of looking into the idea of making paints, because oil painting was what both Anne and Lottie oil painted. So if you ran out of oil paint, what would you do? Would you, if you didn't have time to wait for the next shipment that was coming in on some stage, you would go to the pharmacist and get your linseed oil and your chemicals and such, and you'd create your
own
paints.
Colors, yeah.
So it was a pharmacist's mistake that did Lottie in. She died from an improper prescription. And well, you'll just have to listen to the song.
Well, the rest of it, anyway.
Yeah, the whole song, get the story. No. But anyway, I put two and two together, and that's why I surmise that she was murdered by a pharmacist.
You have another riveting song on the CD about what is her first name?
It's Cynthia Ann
Cynthia
Parker.
Ann Parker.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And this would be another one if we can do a little of it.
We don't have it.
Parker, Eyes of Blue.
Oh, Eyes of Blue.
Yeah. Tell us, this is, we won't play a lot of
it.
We'll probably play Jim about a minute and 40
probably.
Seconds
right.
or something. But tell us about this story, because this is an icon of the West.
Oh, yes. Well, about research. My husband is a book collector. We have wonderful Western book collection, and so we're always going into used bookstores and places, and I came across one and bought it and started reading, and it was my first introduction to Cynthia Ann Parker, and I just was fascinated by the story. And it was just a short little synopsis of her life, but it was written so provocatively, and so that just got me started, and I thought to myself, well, she was abducted by Comanches in 1836 and became the mother of Quanah Parker, who mm-hmm. was the final Comanche chief to take his people into reservation life. And it's just an incredible story. So that one took me a couple of years to write, because I had to learn more about what was going on, what would have compelled this child to completely reject being a white person, and when taken back into white society after being captured back, she never assimilated, and all of these things, the loss, how her mother must have felt when because she survived the massacre, and but her daughter was gone, and all of these things just came together, and I tried to express it in this song. And I read Essie Gwynn's book, Summer of the Empire of the Summer Moon, and mm-hmm. that's the one that finally clinched it for me. I finally understood the brutality, just the,
of the Comanche.
Of the Comanches, and the post-traumatic, we know now of post-traumatic stress syndrome and the ability to block out so much in our minds. But anyway, that's a lot of it, so.
Can we play a little bit of that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Did you want to do that now?
Yeah.
Since
you just.
Oh, let's wait till later.
Sky Taviano estucado, white and deep and blue, and like the land of the llano estucado, they were as empty, they held no memory to remind her who lived inside her Parker eyes of blue. In May, through hot red Texas dusty ways, in rode a band of Comanche braves, a nightmare mirage. The Parker men were in the field with nothing more than tools to wield. The fort gates open wide would yield no answering barrage. Unarmed, the men were massacred by lance and arrow, none were spared. Attack on that fateful day, and her eyes were the sky of the llano estucado, white and deep and blue.
Let's turn the mics on.
Very riveting,
extremely
story. And it's a story that is kind of part of the American history.
We have a caller.
Oh, cool. Who's calling?
I have no idea. Let's find out. Hi, this is the Writer's Block. Who's this? Hello? Hello?
Hello? Hello, can you hear me?
Oh, we can. Yes, we can.
Yes. Hi, my name is Courtney.
Hi, Courtney. How are you?
I was calling to ask a question to the writer.
Oh, Margaret.
To Margaret.
Okay, yes. She's sitting right here.
Hi, Courtney.
Hi, Margaret. I'm a huge fan, and I was wondering, when is your next book coming out?
Oh, it's coming out June 6th, I think it is.
And it's great. We've just read it.
It's a fun read, Courtney. You'll love it.
It's called
Where
the
Magic... do you get your ideas for these books?
She steals them, just like every other writer.
Well, sometimes I read something, and it just triggers an idea, or I hear something that somebody says, or you know, it's, or sometimes it just comes to me for no reason at all, so I don't know, but I'm so glad you called. It was really nice of you, and I hope you like the book.
Oh, I can't wait. Is it going to be available on Amazon by any chance?
Oh, yes, it's on Amazon.
You can pre-order it now on Amazon, I think.
Yeah, I think you can pre-order it now.
Great. Okay, good. Okay, I'm going to go order it right now. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for calling, Courtney.
Thank you, Courtney.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
We love that.
Which reminds me, if you want to call and talk to the authors or the musicians, as it were, the number here in the studio is 818-602-4929. Again, that is 818-602-4929. And we'll be here for another half an hour, so please, if you want to call, please do. And, you know, I have to tell you, Amita, that I'm a history major and a Western historian.
Yes.
And the story of Cynthia Ann Parker has always amazed me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the way that she was yanked mm-hmm. from her home,
yes,
as an older woman, or as a woman that had already had her children,
right,
and forced back into a white civilization of which she knew nothing.
Exactly. It happened. She was subjected to that twice.
Yes.
Completely in her life.
Yeah.
And yes, yeah. And she did survive for very much longer after that. Totally brokenhearted. You know, yeah.
It was husband's name was Nakoa. Was that right? Something similar?
Something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
And, of course, her son was Kwana.
Kwana.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he was the biggie.
And her name was Najwa.
Her Indian name.
Oh, okay. Yes, her Indian name, Najwa.
And I applaud you because you know how many people get the Llano Estacado wrong?
Oh, yeah?
The Llano Estacado.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I studied Spanish, so at least they had a little
the
bit of
the double L.
There, yeah. Thank goodness.
And everybody said, where's that? I say, it's the panhandle of Texas.
There you go.
Pretty much. There's nothing there but the Palo Verde Canyon. Palo Verde Canyon.
Jim has been everywhere.
I have been.
He's lived everywhere, traveled everywhere.
Never lived there. Never lived there.
But totally.
Did you write that song? I've been everywhere.
No.
That is
but I will tell you, I am writing a book now called Jonah Blue, and I'm in the spot now where they have a ranch outside of a little town called Hellgate.
Mm-hmm.
And Hellgate is on the eastern slopes of the Rockies, right going into Montana.
Yeah, that's. I was just going to say there's Hellgate, Montana.
Yeah, but yeah. It also turned into Missoula after a while. It spread out.
And
turned.
Uh-huh.
We have another call.
That's
Holy
fun.
Crap.
Jim.
Oh. This is the Writer's Block, and who am I speaking to?
This is Jackie.
Hi, Jackie. How are you?
I'm great. I just wanted to talk or ask a question of Margaret Brownlee.
Okay, she's sitting right here.
Oh, great. I'm a huge fan, and I just love your books. And my question is, will you be writing any more of the Pinkerton detective books? I know you talked about them a little bit earlier, but will you be writing more?
Hi, Jackie. I keep getting this question asked, so I probably should be writing more.
There you go.
I've written four of them so far. One of them was in another series. I haven't got anything planned right now because I'm contracted to 2020 for books, so there's no room to put them. But I may, I won't say no. I love the Pinkertons, so I will.
And they're wonderful, and I just want to congratulate you. I loved your Left at the Altar and being a finalist for the Rita Award. I think it's just terrific.
Oh, thank you so much. I was real excited about it. Anyway, appreciate that. So anyway, but to answer your question, I don't really know, but maybe. Okay.
Okay.
Jackie, do you follow her? Do you follow the blog that she's part of, Petticoats and Pistols?
I do, and I see she's going to be in my hometown at the Cowboy Festival, so I'm excited about that.
Oh, are you out in Santa
Clarita? Santa Clarita girl.
I am,
oh,
yes.
Great. Yes, she will be at the Buckaroo Bookshop. We're going to be, as you enter the festival, you head sort of towards Hart Hall, and like you were heading over to the Historical Society. And we have a large booth that's kind of right between Hart Hall and the Historical Society where she will be. And then she will be, I'll be chatting with her on Saturday with a panel and on Saturday twice, I think. And you can get all that information at the cowboyfestival.org website. Then click venues and click Buckaroo Bookshop and you'll get it all right there.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you for calling.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, the Petticoats and Pistols, why don't you talk about that group of writers a little bit?
Oh, yeah, that's a fun note. It's a blog, of course, and as I think there's, I can't remember how many writers, maybe 9 or 10 right now, and every day we write about something Western, and we have a lot of fun over there. We give a lot of prizes away, and it's a fun thing, so it's petticoatsandpistols.com.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, if you want to call in and talk to Margaret Brownlee.
Or Elmina Bradshaw.
Actually, Bobby and I and Elmina will just sit here and let you chat with Margaret.
Absolutely.
The number here is 818
602-4929.
And again, without chuckling, 818-602-4929. And you can actually get Bobby Jean or me, you don't want to talk to me, but Elmina, who's just a terrific lady. And so is Margaret. She's sitting right over here on the other side.
Having so much fun.
And she's having a ball.
Well, she has on the banner, love and laughter in the Old West.
Yeah.
So we want to make sure that we're having love and laughter in the Old West here in the studio.
Well,
tonight.
We're having it in the New West.
Yeah. Well, yes, we're having it in the New West. Yeah. So we celebrate the Old West.
Anyway, back to, I need to talk to you about your music for just a second, Almeida, because
okay.
I'm a huge fan of your stuff.
Well, thank you
I am
so
now,
much.
For sure. I've never heard it before in my life until this evening.
Wonderful.
And now I'm going to have a CD.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
I expect one in the mail.
Okie doke.
I'll leave you this one. That's all right.
Oh, cool.
I'll leave you mine.
Well, I have to rip it onto a USB, but I could do that.
We'll give, yeah.
Your songs are just, they're so poignant. Yes. And the musicianship that goes into making a song that way is tremendous, and I applaud mm-hmm. you.
Well, thank you so very much.
Oh, you're very, very much. Yeah. And you play a six string, I assume.
Yes, sir. I'm a flat picker.
Are you?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And your first song that we listened to, The Love of Lottie Joel, I caught a little bit of high stringing in that. So
actually,
high capo?
Yes, and I also played a tenor guitar, Nashville tune guitar.
Okay.
On a few of my tunes. I don't know exactly if I did it on Lottie Joel or not, but yeah. I capo that one up a little bit.
Yeah,
see, I'm actually a handicapped bluegrass picker. I play everything pretty much in the key of G or the key of C, man, and I just use a capo to find the key.
You're
I like
a frustrated
to sing
banjo
it, you know.
Picker.
Yeah. There you go. So.
Well, and then who provided the vocals on
the backup vocal?
On the Parker Eyes of Blue, the Native American.
Well, there were a variety of people, and actually, I would need my CD in front of me and glasses too to be able to say. But they came from the Denver area, and they were all Native Americans. They came into the studio. Lance Bendixson up in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, was my producer, and they came into the studio. It was so funny. They started pounding on the drum and doing their drum beat and singing to warm up, and they about blew out the speaker system down in the control room. It was really, really kind of great. But no, they were authentic. They attempted to create a song or create that song that a warrior would have been singing prior to an attack, that mm-hmm. kind of thing. So, yeah.
The war songs.
Authentic. Powerful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's amazed me, a musicianship that goes into, again, that make, mm-hmm. goes into making one single cut, and you do an album of, what, 13, 12?
There are 11 songs 11? On this album.
And I caught a little bit of backtracking and harmonizing with yourself on it.
No, I actually had.
Really?
I didn't do any harmonizing myself. That was Jane Lesh.
Her voice is identical to
yours. Yeah, she. Well, actually, Daddy's Bells. I did I am the harmony on Daddy's Bells, but no, there was other people singing with me. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I've always found that it's much easier to harmonize with yourself than it is to have other people try to do it with
my
you.
My new project, I did.
Did you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I applaud you again.
Well, thank you so much.
And Margaret. Your book is just like, I don't know where it comes from. I know where my new one came from. That's the one I was telling you in the car on the way over that it was a dream.
Uh-huh.
And it didn't go away.
Because we hear that so often from that the muse is a dream. And we hear it with songwriters as well.
Yeah, it was just mm-hmm. a dream that wouldn't go away. And the title was there and the whole first part of the story was there. Mm-hmm. So all I've had to do is struggle with the last half of the book.
So this is the perfect time to talk about writer's block, it sounds like.
It sounds like it is.
Yeah.
So, Margaret, why don't you tell us about writer's block? And this is the second time you're going to be getting to be doing this.
Yeah, let's see if she lives up to her first time. The same answer that she gave 2 years ago, because it's one of the best answers we've ever heard.
That's right.
Well, I don't know, but I don't know what my answer was last time. But anyway, the best antidote for writer's block is a deadline.
No, that's what you said before.
Okay, I just said that.
And well, she talked about changing names.
That's right, changing names.
Sometimes
changing names. Well, when I was teaching creative writing, I just discovered that everybody seemed to be stuck on page 50 or thereabout. And I thought, you know, that's really, really strange. Why are we stuck on page 50? And then it occurred to me one time, you know, that's when you know your characters.
Right.
So something's not right. And usually, sometimes it is the change of names. Because I had a character in, I think it was Amanda, in fact, in my match made in Texas. And I had too feminine a name for her. It was, it didn't work. So she needed, Amanda seemed to be the name that she needed. So sometimes it's just a change of name. It's strange, but it is.
Yeah.
Because the least little thing can cause you to block, you know.
Right, or, yeah, stop you in your tracks.
Right.
Or I think sometimes it's just that's where the story in your brain has gone, and you haven't gone any further.
That's right.
And now you're going, uh-oh.
But sometimes I just go back to the beginning of the book because it's usually, the answer is always usually there in this first chapter.
Yeah.
So I just keep going back until something breaks loose, you know. But it's not fun when you have it.
No. And actually, we put Bobby Jean on the seat, the hot seat, a while back. I think it was maybe a month ago when we mentioned the fact that she's going to put all these together in a book.
Oh, yeah.
We've had some wonderful answers.
And it was actually interesting because I was going through notes today from early shows, and I actually have about 3 pages of what the answers were that we had gotten from like our first 12 guests, and I haven't kept that up. So now you see you've put that idea in my head. And
well, it's not that you don't have anything else.
Well,
to
I
do.
Know, but we'll figure out a way to mine that information.
Okay, Almeida, you're in the bucket. Writer's block. Have you ever got
Writer's block. Well, you know, I don't have to deal with deadlines, which is kind of a nice thing. So the creative process, I have always put a lot of faith in the idea of incubation. And if I'm working on something and I'm just kind of gone as far as I can go right there at the moment, I'll put it away for a while. Mm-hmm. And subconsciously, I'll continue to think about it, and consciously, I'll think about it, and I'll run ideas by, and I'll think of words, and I'll talk, you know, kind of run phrases around in my mouth and things like that. And then I'll come back to it. I did that with a poem that was given to me by Ed Nusselhoff years back. And it's called Dances with Bulls. And it was not a subject matter that I'm typically work with because it was about a rodeo bullfighting clown. And I typically write about women's subjects and things. So I went ahead and worked with it for a while and maybe then even started to edit and tweak it and change words. And then I came back and actually a few years later and took it right off the shelf as it was, and it just fell into place. I recorded it and sent it off to Ed, and he came back to me and he says, well, you know, that's pretty good, but I was kind of imagining something with a little bit more testosterone. Can you believe
that?
I'm
a girl. What is that?
I says, well, Ed, what were you thinking? You gave it to me. But it turned out to be a good song. But yeah, the same thing with Parker Eyes of Blue. That took a long time. Mm-hmm. And I just was trying to grasp what it was I was trying to say, wanting to say. And with songwriting, you have to say quite a bit in a very, very short amount of time.
Yeah, you're real limited, yeah.
And I love minimal. I love minimal writing. I love finding just the exact words with the exact cadence and just the most that it just rolls in your mouth and comes off your tongue and into this melody. And so, you work at really paring it down to just the most essence of what you're trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, if I have a hard time with it, I just let it sit. I let it go. And I allow myself the creative process to do its thing and not force it.
And if you have to start over, it's not really a long process.
No, and
point,
it might not. It might end up being just a really lousy song, and you probably shouldn't be working on it
there
anyway.
You go.
Who knows?
Been
you
there,
know?
Done that.
Yeah.
I got a couple of those. A lot of those.
What do you ladies think about the kind of future for the Western genre? Here we're talking, of course, books, and then Almeida, you can talk a little bit about Western music.
Sure.
What do you see as a future for the Western genre?
Well, I think that it's going to continue being. It's been, you know, all this time. I do think that it has a good future ahead, and I think it's going to just be rediscovered and rediscovered and rediscovered. You know, I don't think we've told all the stories yet.
No,
I really
we haven't.
Don't.
Yeah. No.
And I think that we'll just keep telling our stories, and we'll keep getting new readers, and you know, and that. But I think it's got a good future.
I think, and you know, it's funny you should say that because I have a friend of mine that his nephew got a hold of one of my stories, and he read it and he loved it and he wanted another one, but then he wrote a book report on it.
Oh my gosh,
that's wonderful!
Isn't
the guy
that
was
fun?
In ninth grade.
Oh wow!
I mean, there's no language a ninth grader should be reading.
Well,
but
salty languages, I used to call it when I first met you.
He loved
salty.
But he really loved the story, and you know, because you can't argue about a good story.
Right. A good story is a good story.
Right.
Well, and it's also got good values, and I think that's really important. I think we're you know, people are getting to that point where you really want some values and something. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
It is. And I just think that that's, there's a place for that in society. And I just think that it's going to continue.
Right. We have some writers coming up towards the end of the year. Matter of fact, the bookies were booked up.
Are we?
Almost to the end of the
year now?
That have written some tomes. And I say tome because we're talking 500-600 pages of like number 10 type.
Wow.
Oh, I better start reading
that's
now.
That's a lot of words. You know, and if you only have a week to read it, you're pretty screwed.
Well, we'll figure that out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. But I mean, I think that those types of volumes are getting fewer and fewer and fewer. Most people are starting, I think, as you are, Margaret, and I've noticed that your books are right around the 260, 280 genre, 300.
And they read fast.
And they read fast.
I mean, you just kind of want to know, like, okay,
exactly. They're page turners. And I'm not one for romance novels, but I like her books. But yeah. Most of the writers now we see, and all the writers at the Cowboy Festival, they're all under 300 pages. Mm-hmm. They're fast reads, they're easy reads, and they're great stories, and they're well put together. I don't think you have to put out 600 pages to tell a good story. I just don't. Mm-hmm. Unless you're trying to
do a series in world history. Of them.
Certainly not in a song.
Yeah. I mean, 600 pages song.
Well, most
you'll still be here next Tuesday.
Yeah, there you go.
What did you say, Margaret?
I said most publishers won't publish a 600-page book because of the cost, and, you know, it's just a lot of money.
Yeah, and this guy's sending them out.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So it's actually the publishers who are saying how long they want the books.
Right.
It's usually about 80,000 words.
Yeah, and that's pretty standard.
Right.
Now I'm told 60,000 to 80,000 standard, 90,000, okay. Anything over that, a little bit too much.
Right.
Start pairing.
Yeah.
So,
Almeda, what do you think about the future of the Western?
Well, I agree with you, Margaret, about values, because I think that is one of the that is what draws so many of us to Western music to begin with. But I really want to see, and I'm embracing a broader subject matter, and that's why I like to read myself as a, you know, cowboys, cowgirls, ranchers, farmers, and more, because there's not only the cowboy is the central icon, and there's no getting away from that of our Western culture, and my newest song Cowboy pays tribute to that. However, I just worked on a song today. I was inspired by an old man that's living in a really old RV park out east of Las Vegas. And when I took my RV in there to get it dumped and get water and everything, I chatted with him. And from that, I just wrote a little vignette story about him. And it's like Dave Staney's album, Western Stories. There are so many little vignettes. And Tom Russell was a huge inspiration for me to write these little vignettes of just life, the guts and the blood and the just of life. You know?
Well, it's like Joe Harrington's The Greatest Generation that he shared last night and shared last week on the show, where he saw this, you know, guy in a diner and just, you know, didn't really give him much attention but saw his buckle.
Yeah.
And then recognized this is a man to talk to.
Yeah.
And then they did, and the result was the piece The Greatest Generation, which was a marvelous. And I think it is. It's that vignette, that's how we break down the stereotypes, and it's how we it's about real people.
Right.
And their real stories.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited about that.
There's a lot to be said by just finding people and talking to them.
Absolutely.
You'd be surprised what you can learn.
Life is a wonderful adventure that way, because you certainly, a lot of people call it networking in the modern terminology.
Yeah.
But it's just, you never know who you're going to meet and what story you're going to hear, or how it's going to affect you, or where it's going to lead you to another place. It's a great adventure. I love it.
Mm-hmm. I think I've told this story before, but I wrote a song called The Lady of the Times. And when I was living in Washington, part of my job was to go to downtown Seattle. And I on First Street is where Skid Row.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the homeless are down there in First Street, especially down by Pioneer Square.
Uh-huh.
And I ran into a lady one day when I was coming out of one of the cafes there, and she had a little basket. And I stopped and talked to her, and her name was Mary, and she just had the most interesting life. And she was one of these very unfortunate women that had got into drugs and lost her husband and her family in her home. Mm-hmm. And she was on the streets in Seattle. And yeah. and whenever I went down there, I always looked her up because she always had a great story to tell. Mm-hmm. And I went down there one day and she wasn't around. And I asked this other guy, I said, have you seen Mary? And he goes, I don't know, maybe she's dead or something. Mm. That was his answer.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, wow. that's not untypical.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
You know, that's typical for these people because they don't hold anything anywhere anymore. Right. Their heart's gone. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of it mm-hmm. is that way. But mm-hmm. you could talk to these people, and they give you such a great stories, such rich stories.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's really hard not to pass them on.
Yeah,
that's all I have to say, and I'm done with preaching.
Margaret, I want to revisit that you are under contract. You said through 2020. So you already are, if not already writing, you already sort of know what you have coming. You don't necessarily need to share that with us, although I would say that Jackie and our other caller would probably love to know what's coming.
What's going on? What are we writing, Margaret?
Will there be, do you envision a whole new series that will happen before 2020, or is it going to be a continuation of?
Well, I just started a new series,
yes.
which we'll do, and this is Shotgun Brides, which is a series, so that's doing, and the first one I'm working on now, which is Stop the Wedding. So, but in romance, there's certain words that are very selling, you know, mm-hmm. brides, mm-hmm. weddings, and all that. Mm-hmm. So this is Stop the Wedding. And this is the first one I'm writing now. So,
and does it take place, just where is it?
It takes place in Haywire, Texas.
Haywire, Texas. Okay. And will there be an armadillo in this story?
I don't
Well, it's not legal by throwing flipping around over your head by the tail.
Actually, that's the law that doesn't exist.
you know, that really, I was on the internet because I was kind of stuck, and a man was shooting at an armadillo. And the bullet ricocheted, and he shot his mother-in-law.
And it's in her book.
His aim was good.
No, this
spoiler
was
alert.
This was a true story.
Yeah. Spoiler alert. She makes a reference to that in an upcoming book. You always have some really fun things, Margaret, that you share. It's also what makes your website so fun. And at the back of this book, Match Made in Heaven, which is, Match Made in Texas, which will be coming out and is available for pre-order on Amazon right now. At the end, you have some things like, which of these things is not a real law? And I'm just going to do one because we're almost out of time. But these were too fun. You had to pick, you gave us three possibilities. Oh, gosh, it just left. Oh, I can't do it. It just left my PDF here. I'm sorry. They were just too fun. You made us guess
what the law, real law
was. What the real law was. Which one was the real law?
Right.
Yeah, and there was one about two trains, and they can't go until one passes the other. It's like, how could that ever happen? And I won't be able to find this. So here we go. Let's see if I can just. Okay, here. Okay, so here are the three, and then we have to pick which one is not a real law. So in Kansas, if two trains meet on the same track, neither shall proceed until the other has passed.
So they're going to sit there for 3-4 years.
Okay, so you have to wonder, okay, is that a real law or not? Number two, B, is Texans aren't allowed to use a lasso to catch a fish. Okay, and then the third one is, if you are caught driving with an uncaged bear in Missouri, you'll be in big trouble. And then you put in parentheses, then again, if you don't get caught, you might still be in trouble. So our choices are about two trains, Texas, lasso a fish, and an uncaged bear in Missouri. Which one do you think is not the law, is not a real law?
Let's go for the most ridiculous one. Lassoing a fish.
You are correct. So there was a law about two trains meeting on the same track. They can't go until one is past the other.
On the same track.
Okay.
I mean, this is, you always give us, that's the love and laughter of the West, because
that's
she always pulls out these, just, you have to laugh at them.
I know. They're great.
And they're true. It's true history.
They're great. Okay, we have Margaret Brownlee.
Oh, I'm sorry. We have to.
We're gonna have to. Speed up.
Well, I was gonna say in the book when the law is that if there's a fire, the woman can't be saved by a fireman unless she's properly dressed.
Yeah.
That's a real law.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
She has to get dressed before you can save her.
Yeah, you kind of throw them throughout that book, raising them over 6 inches over your ankle and just all kinds of fun things. So,
okay.
Anyway, I know.
Margaret Brownlee.
Yes.
The name of your book is?
A Match Made in Texas.
There you go. And it's available June 7th?
Yes, June 7th.
Amazon.
Pre-order
Barnes & Noble, pre-order.
Walmart, whatever.
And your website is Margaret-Brownlee?
Right.com. Yes.
Okay. And that's Brownlee.
Right.
Okay. And email address?
MargaretBrownlee.com.
Okay, then.
And Almeda?
Almeda.
How do they find you?
My website is AlmedaM2BMusic.com. And you can find my music by Googling my name, Almeda Bradshaw, on CD Baby, iTunes. It's on my website. Just Google my name, Almeda. That's Al, not Alla. Almeda. Call me Al. Bradshaw, and you'll find
Al.
Me. You can call me Al.
And they will both be with us this weekend at the Santa Clarita Cowboy Festival.
And they'll both be at the Santa Clarita Cowboy Festival this weekend.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
Festival opens at 10 o'clock on Saturday.
Yes.
Goes till 6.
We load in tomorrow. Yeah.
And 10 o'clock on Sunday. It goes till 6.
Live events on the Out West stage starting at 10:30
live events and,
each day.
Of course, the Buckaroo Bookshop will be there. Mm-hmm. I will miss being there this year, but you guys have a great time.
We will miss you.
I will really miss being there. Almeda, what's the name of your new CD?
Lovers, Wives, and Mothers, A Western Woman's Voice.
I love it.
Yeah.
I'm
going to
give you a pen.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You need to sign it.
All right, I'll do that.
Okay, next week we have... who do we have? Kathleen Rogers.
Rogers.
Is on with us. And, of course, next week is Russ Avison night. Bobby will be in school.
Yep.
And, you have a pen. Oh, good, good, good. And we thank these two lovely ladies for joining us this evening. It's been a hoot. It really, truly has been a hoot. We really appreciate you guys taking your time out to come see us.
Well, thank you for having us.
Oh, it's great having you. Trust me. We love it. We love people.
And thank our callers for calling.
Thank our callers for calling.
Yeah, that makes it so fun.
And this is another Thursday in the bag.
Yeah.
We thank you all for joining us on this little show that we like to say is our little show, which now has over 300,000 listeners. It's pretty damn good.
After tonight, we'll probably have 400,000.
Oh, I'm sure. So, with that being said, we're out of here. Have yourselves a great week. Santa Clarita Cowboy Festival, Saturday, Sunday, 10 to 6. Don't miss it. Good night.